You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Joining us now to share her experience of accessing rehabilitation services and the importance of being able to access them early on is Bhavini Makwana. Thank you so much for joining us today, Bhavini.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Now, you have retinitis pigmentosa. When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed at the age of 17. I started noticing symptoms a couple of years prior, bumping into a lot of things, a lot of people just suddenly appearing next to me. And that would startle me because I hadn't actually seen them approach, struggling to see at dusk time or in the dark, in the winter, like coming home from college, school. I was walking much, much slower than my friends, and they would all question, like, oh, what's wrong? And I'll just brush it off, saying, oh, nothing, I'm just trying to get something out of bag. I started making excuses, and things just got worse. Like, I couldn't see in really bright lighting. Things would just be a glare, or things that were camouflaged. So, for example, I remember knocking down a stack of clear glasses that were on a glass table. I mentioned it to my optician, which then prompted lots and lots of tests. And then in the August of 1997, I was brought into this consultant's room. I still remember it, really dark, really cold, really clinical. And then the consultant told me that I've got a condition called retinitis pigmentosa. It's supposed to be inherited, but nobody else in my family had it. There was no cure. There was no treatment. There was nothing that they could do. They don't know the rate on which it could deteriorate. It's a deteriorating condition, and I could go blind in years, months, or even weeks.
At the time of your diagnosis, were you referred to receive any support or advised of any support or rehabilitation services available?
No, nothing at all. That was literally all I was told, apart from we'll monitor you every year. And that was it. Just me and my family, me and my mom, my parents, just left to kind of deal with that information and not really sure what to do with it, what life was going to look like for me moving forward.
So what was the impact of this diagnosis on the next few years of your life?
It was a strange few years. It really hit me hard. I just felt this sense of numbness for quite a long time. I just didn't know how to process this information. A naive 17-year-old girl, hadn't really come across anyone else that was vision impaired, that was blind. I didn't know who I could talk to or speak to about all the questions that were just going through my mind. So I just isolated myself from my friends, extended family, and I just kept myself to myself because I was just scared and frightened about my future.
And when did things finally turn around for you?
12 years later, when I moved to London. And when I moved into that borough, I had a phone call from someone who said they were a rehabilitation worker. And at first, that kind of frightened me. And I instantly thought I'd be taken away from my family. Didn't know what it was until he then explained who he is, what his role is, and the kind of support he could offer. And I remember feeling quite confused, actually, thinking, like, you know, how come someone has just noticed I'm here after all these years? But he did explain to say that he would come along with a colleague and they'll do a home visit. And when he did come down, I think for the first time I felt someone would listen to me, someone understood how I felt. And for the first time, I felt there is kind of hope. He gave me some tips, some suggestions on what they could do to support me. He gave me some links and numbers to other charity organizations that I could contact and speak to. And that was the first time I'd ever heard about any kind of support that I could get from my rehab worker 12 years after my diagnosis.
What difference did it really make on your quality of life at the time? Obviously, you're saying it's, what, 12 years later? That's a long time.
Yeah. It allowed me to breathe a little bit, allowed me to live again. Up until that point, I was completely dependent on my husband. I had two kids by then, one of which, by the time the rehab worker contacted me, was only under 6 months, and my oldest was 4 years old. And I struggled with everything, really, doing the school run, cooking, cleaning, going to appointments, taking the kids to their healthcare appointments, just a social life which was non-existent. And I planned everything around my husband, who had a full-time job. So the stress and the impact it had on our relationship was huge. I had no mobility training at that point. I've got deteriorating conditions. So things that I put into place that worked didn't work anymore. So just finding the school gate, finding my own child, trying to come back home safely, trying to find my own house after I'd come back and drop the kids to school was stressful and used to just make me so anxious because I struggled for so long just sometimes finding my own front door. The rehab officer, when I explained this to him, he suggested that we put a yellow strip on my front doorstep and then putting a sensor light there. So when I reach my driveway, the light would come on, shine on the light, and that really helped me to locate my own front door. So a journey that normally should have taken me 10 minutes used to take me sometimes 40, 45 minutes because I'd be just walking up and down my street just trying to find my front door. It just made me a little bit more confident. He introduced me to bump-ons so I could put them on my microwave, my washing machine, shampoo, conditioner bottle so I can differentiate between things. It made me feel a little bit more independent that I didn't have to rely on others for simple, basic tasks that I planned around my husband's availability. And I think it made a difference to his life as well because he saw me being independent, which, you know, took a little bit of stress away from him. He felt proud that I was able to do things on my own. And the more and more support I got, the more and more he introduced me to different things, mobility training, technology, getting to grips with using a smartphone and things like that. So it made a massive impact to my life to the point when the kids were both at full-time school, the technology support helped me just by simply inverting the colors on my laptop, using stickers that had large font on the keyboard, meant that I was empowered to take up voluntary work. So rehab support really, really gave me so much hope and confidence.
It's such a long journey for you to get that support that really you should have seen from the beginning. So how do you feel now these days compared to that, I guess, scared and confused 17-year-old girl?
I think I live much more confidently. And if I'm completely honest, I think I have more of a life now with sight loss than I did before. There are so many things that I do in terms of work, voluntary work, social life, like love going to the theatre, other hobbies. I have a guide dog now. So I'm much more independent, much, much more confident. And it's just sad that it took that long to get that support. I started working when I was in my mid-30s, and that was my proper full-time job that I had after my kids. And I often wondered, could a blind person work? You know, I had so many doubts in my mind, like what life would be like for me now as a blind woman. But knowing the help and support and information available to blind and partially sighted people now, there's so much out there. But without that awareness, it's just difficult to comprehend.
How important do you think it is to offer rehabilitation services from the beginning of that journey when you first get your diagnosis of sight loss?
I think it's extremely essential. I think it's an important part that it should be available. It's not to say that everyone will be ready to accept that help right at the beginning, but just having that awareness, like I couldn't even tap into it because I didn't even know about it. But having it available, having that information will allow that individual to actually make the most out of their situation, access the right help and the right support at the right time. So that individual can go on, whether it's education, whether it's employment, whether it's to have a family, you know, whatever it may be, to have a healthy life that they choose to live. If that information or that service is not provided to them, how will they ever know what they're capable of? It's a way that we can be independent. It's a way that we can contribute to society. And without that, it's really difficult. You know, it increases isolation. It increases poor mental health. It's an important and essential component that when someone is diagnosed and they're registered, rehab services should be available. So where there's local authorities where sometimes there's massive waiting lists, or in some areas there are not even any rehabs available, services need to improve. They desperately need to improve.
Well, Bhavini Makwana, thank you so much for speaking on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.